greatly blessed the people are that joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. And through to the verse marked 18, Psalm 89 at verse 13, let's stand to sing together.
Thou hast an arm that full of love, thy hand is great in might, and thy right hand exceedingly exalted is in height. Justice and judgment of thy throne are made the dwelling place.
We give thanks now that it is not only ancient Israel that you rule over, but you are the one who has gathered a people to yourself from all the nations of the world. You are indeed the God and Lord over all nations. But we praise you, O Lord, that you have seen fit to make yourself known to many, to us, that you have been at work, that we might be found here, that through the many turns and twists of daily life, we are led to come together and to come for the purpose of worshipping our God and seeking your ministry to us also. And we thank you, Lord, that we have these assurances that you yourself will draw near to all who would fear your name, who would seek to exalt you and lift up your honour and your praise. We would do so ourselves because we remember again the great work that you have done that has opened our eyes and made yourself known to us in our hearts. Otherwise, we would be far from you. But we confess your name as the one who is holy, the one who is mighty to save. And we especially acknowledge before you, even now, not only in the great day to come, but now also to confess the Lamb of God that was slain and is worthy to receive blessing and honor, glory and power. We confess the name of our Lord Jesus. We would plead that you would accept us and work in us for his sake, that we might be received as clothed in his righteousness. We praise you, Lord, that you have seen fit that he should come and through him purchase a people to yourself. And we pray, Lord God, that we might know afresh the blessings of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that we will be found truly in him, each one of us, by faith and putting our trust in him for the way of our lives. So we pray that this evening will be profitable for us and for us as part of your kingdom. May your kingdom grow, be extended in our own hearts and lives, and also through us, that you would see fit to do your work with us in your hands. Strengthen us, we pray, in every circumstance that we face, and may it be especially through our gathering together in your name and around your word. We ask all, O Lord, and pray that through it the glory would be yours. We rejoice that you promised to exalt a people, but above all, that we might exalt your name. And this we pray through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be heard. Amen. Let us open our Bibles together, and we would turn first of all to the book Malachi. If you're turning the pages quickly, it will disappear. It's immediately, obviously, before Matthew. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi and chapter 3, starting to read at verse 16 through all of chapter 4. And then after that, we'll turn not very far over to the beginning of the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Let us also turn to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 3. And we take up our reading at verse 21 this evening. The first part of the chapter speaks about the beginning of the ministry of John, and then something of a summary of the preaching ministry in particular that he served. But now at verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Yana, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Semai, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joannes, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmodam, the son of the son of Jose, the son of Eliezer, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Minan, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. May our God bless his word in our hearts as we read and hear together. Let us now turn to Psalm 6. Psalm 6, also the traditional version, so you'll find it on page 204, the first version, and we'll sing all of the psalm here. It is a psalm of a cry in out of help, for help, out of need. It is not just a need that is afflicted from outside. It is as much to do with personal standing and condition before God. But then there are also enemies. We'll be turning to Malachi, and it speaks there of those who are oppressing God's people. And then is the confidence and conclusion at the end: God has heard my supplication and graciously received my prayer. So let us also pray to God in these words: Lord, in thy wrath rebuke me not, nor in thy hot rage chasten me. Let's stand to sing together.
Lord, in thy wrath rebuke me not, nor in thy hot rage chasten me. Lord, pity me, for I am weak, healing for my wounds vexed me. My soul is also vexed sore, but Lord, how long will thou make?
There are a number of folk. It would be good to commit to the Lord in prayer, so let us turn once more to him and pray together. As we would seek in those words for ourselves, O Lord, for your provision and your hearing of our prayers, for your help through every condition and every need. We pray also for many others and many who perhaps are facing even more open and outright opposition, who vex and cast shame upon your people. We pray, Lord, that you would also hear such a prayer on their behalf, while we also thank you, Lord, that they bear witness to us, and it humbles us that in many ways they have remained faithful where we have perhaps wandered away. We ask, Lord, that you will open our own eyes to those ways that you would call us, which are perhaps far more demanding than we have recognized, that you would call us to serve you, but that we would be prepared to put our lives in your hands, knowing that you alone are the one who will help through all things, and that you take us beyond the grave, that there is a life to be lived, a life of fullness and of praise. We ask, Lord, that you would grant your upholding in the work of this very gospel to take out the news of the deep healing that you would provide, that it is not just for the body, but for the soul. And we thank you, Lord, for many who do engage in that ministry. It's not, Lord, that we are forgetful. We do give thanks for much work that is done for those who are ill and weak. We pray, Lord, especially for those who are seeking to overcome the epidemic in West Africa, the Ebola crisis. And we ask, O Lord, that you would grant wisdom and an earnest spirit and a great desire to help those in need in that setting. We ask, Lord, that you will also help in every other ministry of mercy and in practical ways. We ask that you would help with upholding those in need in this country as well. And in that respect, we pray for our leaders and government to act wisely in the service that they render to the people of the nation. We commend our Queen to you and those who support her and advise her. We ask, Lord, for the government of the nation and the government of the regions as well, in Scotland, in Wales, in Northern Ireland. In every place, Lord, we ask that you will overrule, and that the men and women in these positions that have been entrusted with this role might take it with a view to the authority that they are given from your hand, and also that they might therefore seek out the wisdom that is so freely to be found, turning to you. We pray, Lord, for the ministry of the gospel. We know that in this alone there is that newness of heart and life that will overcome the great difficulties that man creates for himself and for others. So we do pray for the ministry in this area, and we ask too for your blessing on our friends in the London City congregation. We pray for Grove Chapel with their new minister. We remember Paul Levy in Ealing, and a number of other places, those who have come to visit with us. We ask, Lord, that you would minister wherever they worship, and those who have come to preach, that they might be effective instruments where you call them for their full-time ministry. We pray, Lord, for in this regard, for Ewan and Donna Matheson. They visited with us not so long ago, and we ask for your blessing to lead them as he has received the call and accepted to go to the NES congregation. We pray that they will know blessing in doing so, and the demands of that setting, and the differences that they will find moving from North Uist. We pray for the North Uist congregation as they get used to this idea and as they prepare for what might be ahead. Perhaps remembering also Lachie MacDonald in the south of Uist, and as he would be there alone, we ask, Lord, that you would encourage him in his ministry. We pray for Sean Akers as he takes up work in Mull, and thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done there in years past, and pray that you would bless those who served in that way. We ask, O God, that you would grant him great strength, and as a young man setting up in the first setting for his ministry, we pray that there will be good support for him, and ask, O God, that you will be very near to him in the demands and the adventures of that undertaking. Pray too for our friend Ken McIntosh from the Horsley Church, and ask that you would prosper him as he serves in Ethiopia for a few weeks. And thank you for his return there after a number of years, and thank you for the encouragement it gives him as he looks on and sees the enthusiasm and the great desire of the men and women out there to know more and to be led in their understanding of your word. We ask, Lord, that you will do this thing for your own name's sake, that though, as the psalmist spoke of being unable to give praises lying in the grave, we know that there is that life beyond, but also that there would be that giving of praises amongst many before this life is over, and a devotion to the honour of your name amongst men. You are worthy, Lord, and we would lift up your name. We would pray that we might know afresh this evening how you are gracious towards us, and that this will also stir from us that return of praise, that sacrifice pleasing to you, that those other sacrifices also of doing well in the life calling that you have set before each one of us. Do receive us, we pray, Lord, watching over us, upholding us each in the various joys or burdens that we bear with us, and through them all, that we would acknowledge you as the one who does draw near with a gracious heart and a strong arm, and that we would be heard. We come to you seeking again the taking away of sin, keeping us from it, all for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen. Would you turn with me again to the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi, the last chapter, and there's a text this evening, verse 2 in particular. Obviously, with the word "but," it reminds us that doesn't stand on its own. But taking verse 2, "To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." I spoke last Sunday evening about the bright and morning star, and if the bright morning star holds the promise of a new day, it's the sun that delivers it when the sun rises. At creation we read that God made the sun to rule the day, to divide the light from the darkness. And I think that is the main force that is behind the image as it's used here of the sun. I say that because in other ways, which is actually reflected in the passage, but in other ways the sun's impact can vary vastly from one person to the other. If you were to talk to a man lost in the Sahara Desert or a Californian corn farmer these days. The sun is a menace or menacing, and it's far from benevolent. There's death and devastation in its heat, not health and vitamin D. So we need to, when we speak about the sun, we need to remember that Malachi defines the sun in this place. It's the sun of righteousness, and to understand it accordingly. I want to look a little this evening at what he means here by this title in particular, and the implications of that. I want to then just speak first about who he is, who is this Son of Righteousness. Then to speak about who he comes to, that we have in this passage. And then thirdly, what he will do when he comes. So first then, who is this Son of Righteousness? This is the first time this title appears in the Bible, really the only time in precisely these words. Who is in mind, therefore? What indications do we have as to who this is about? And perhaps you can work it out relatively simply. You might well imagine in your understanding of metaphor and so on, who this might be. It is a person. It tells us in the next line, he comes with healing in his wings. It is a person. It's not just the object, the sun that's in the sky, that's in mind. It is a person, a true person, not just the sun god that was worshipped by other ancient peoples of the time. He is one who is distinct in his righteousness. But we, I think, find indications in, let's take what the Bible says. We're not to jump to conclusions, but we find shortly after this in the New Testament, when the Gospels open, the beginning of the New Testament era, in the first chapter of John, for example, we read about the Word, and it tells us in chapter 1 and verse 4 of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or we might say, overcome it. Or, in the prophecy of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he speaks about the day spring from on high that has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And the sun is certainly that image of the light that comes down, that opens up the eyes of men, takes away the darkness, takes away the shadow. And if we are joining these lines together, the day spring, the light that comes to those who sit in darkness, these are all speaking of the Son of God himself. These are speaking of the one that was to follow John, the great coming helper of Israel. And so we have at the end of the Old Testament this person, a promise concerning him, a very powerful image of this coming helper for Israel and for God's people. What that implies, I'll come to in just a moment. I want to then also notice what it says about who he is coming to. It begins, verse 2 begins, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. He will arise to others as well. It says, speaks about the character of how he will deal with those who fear the Lord's name. This is the way that he will appear to the Lord's people, those who serve him, as it's described at the end of chapter 3. But he will also appear as is described in verse 1. It speaks just about the day coming, burning like an oven. The day which is coming shall burn them up. But the reason for that is because of that great heat of the sun. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where on a sunny morning you step out doesn't matter what time of the morning it is, but you step out the door and it feels like you're walking into an oven. There are parts of the world where it's like that. And why is it? It's because the sun has been beating down, and it's the winds that it causes are sweeping through, and the result is this: the day itself is burning like an oven, and it will burn through. In this case, the proud and those who do wickedly. So he will appear. This is the same: the great heat, the heat of the day that comes from this sun of righteousness. But to those who do serve him, as described in verse 18 of chapter 3, this brings a great promise, a promise to encourage. He comes to them, to those who fear the name of the Lord. He comes in his light and brightness when times seem low, when there is darkness all around. That's the very setting that's going on here. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 16, it's set within a context of hostility and sin and pride and wickedness. But amongst them all, there was this group together. It gives a sense, at least, of a very small group that were faithful to the Lord, and they spoke to one another, and the Lord took notice, and he would not forget them. So when there is when there's darkness all around, the sun is coming, and it's a sun of righteousness when there is wickedness all about. He's coming to those who remain faithful, who fear the Lord and encourage one another, who will be kept by the Lord, those who meditate on his name. They will be kept. They will be. He has a great blessing in store for them. And there is very clearly a distinction set out in verse 17. Not all will be spared. There are some that will be selected, and it's to them that he is coming in the way that we'll be seeing in just a moment. So the God-fearing are given confidence by this promise of the rising of this light and strength of the Lord. We saw it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand. But for those who are faithful to the Lord, this is not a thing to be afraid of. This is the time when there will be the what we've been waiting for. But it is a matter for dread if we're not ready, if we're not serving, if we're not fearing the name of the Lord already. But the particular focus of this verse, he is coming to all men, but he is coming for his servants, his own people, to renew. The third thing, and to spend just a little longer here, what it is that he will do. Son, if you fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. There's devastation in verse 1. It's that same sun that is going to bring this in the burning of the day. But for those who fear the Lord's name, he will come with healing in his wings. I am reminded of the Australian bushfires and the eucalypt trees that in the searing heat of summer, some of them spontaneously combust, they burst into flame. And it seems like a great disaster when great swathes are burnt out. But very shortly afterwards, you start to see new life sprouting. Amid the devastation, there's a new life that comes through that very burning, that great heat. He comes with healing in his wings. Now, what is meant by this image as well? Why healing in his wings? Well, there are have been discoveries of ancient symbols of the sun with wings attached. relating to the other religions of the time. But perhaps it's a depiction of the rays of the sun, and the rays that send out the blessings of the sun in the right places. It's possible, too, that there is something of a mixing of metaphors, that Jesus likened himself to a mother hen that gathers her chicks under the safety of her wings, and that spreading out and to gather together and to cover, and that healing, and remembering too that healing is often a closely correlated term with salvation. We saw some of these images in Psalm 89. You also see in Psalm 84, in verse 11, the Lord is described as a sun and shield. The wings are like a shield. They're protective. The Lord is that sun. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So he will come with healing in his wings. It's not certain quite what is intended by the wings, but it is very certain, very plain, what is in mind with the healing. As I say, it's a term that's closely related with salvation throughout Scripture. When God speaks about healing, he speaks about it accompanies forgiveness and restoration. The beginning of chapter 6 of Hosea, there's the call, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up." We tend to just use the word healing to concentrate on a physical damage that needs to be restored. There's been a little bit of that in the congregation in the past few days, hasn't there, with our young man. But it's about being brought to wholeness. The Hebrew has that wonderful word for peace. We can only translate it to peace, shalom, but it's a rich word. It talks about wholeness and the fullness of health. You see something of that, I think, when you read through the rest of this little chapter, where everything is reversed. In verse 3, "You will trample the wicked." They've been trampling you. You will trample them. Not that that's what you set out to do with glee or anything of that sort, but they have been destroyed by the Lord. And where you walk over them. It's been a reversal after a history through the world of being afflicted. You will trample the wicked. But then also in verse 6, there's the turning, where there is has been a history of broken lives and relationships. The hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. There's wholeness being brought back in to this world. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. I don't want you to ignore or forget that that's not all that he will do. I have touched on it to try and explain something of what this Son of Righteousness, who he is and who he comes to. But just to take you back again, he will devastate. It's the day that will burn up the proud and the wicked, or if you like, the unrighteous, because he is the Son of Righteousness. The prophet Amos, he brought a warning to his people. They were looking forward to the great day of the Lord. They thought this will be their deliverance. But he said to them, "For many of you, it's not going to be a day of light, it's going to be a day of darkness. Because you have not been following the Lord. You have not feared his name or served him." There will be those who will be devastated. But in the middle of that, and this is the particular focus this evening, on verse 2, in the middle of that, there are those who will be spared. In the middle of that day of burning and darkness for many, there will be those who are spared. And this is not exclusive. This is something that all might enter into. All who would hear may become one of those to be spared. All it takes is to fear the Lord. All it takes is to meditate on his name, on his works, to dwell on him. All it takes is to serve him. And you too might be spared, will be spared. You will be healed. You will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. This was a symbol of prospering and peace and well-being. This is the promise. Now, this work has begun. I read those couple of references in the early part of the New Testament that were responses to the appearing of the Christ. The day spring from on high has come. Yes, he has come. And he's come to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. In the next chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus himself, in his own hometown, he stood up in the synagogue and he read that passage from Isaiah, and he said, "This is fulfilled today. I'm doing this," he says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The work has begun. The Son of Righteousness has come, and he has come with healing in his wings. And he's begun that work of healing. Yes, the work, as it's described, is still to be completed in the fullness of what Malachi is saying. A day of devastation and of healing, of judgment, of salvation, the great day of righteousness. But because it's been started, that work, it will come. It will come. The day is coming of this discernment, this separation. The day will come, and if we do fear the Lord, this will be a day of complete renewal, of full healing. Something to press us forward and to keep us true to him, that we too will be like those who feared the Lord then, speaking to one another, even surrounded by those who would trample them down, but continuing to serve the Lord and remain faithful to him. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Do you hurt in your life, in your heart? Do you bear burdens and pains? And if you don't now, I'd be surprised if you never will. Please come. Most of all, are you right with God? Does that relationship still need to be healed? Because already there is that way of healing. This one who will bring true healing has come. And he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls." Especially that healing, the healing of the heart with God. And so there is, because of that, there is that promise of the full healing and health to come. But it's here that you will find it, in this one who is here called the Son of Righteousness. This one, that person we've discovered, the Lord Jesus himself. So hope for him. He has come. He's begun his work. And he will come again on that great day to complete his work. Hope for him. hear his name, serve him, and you will receive that blessing. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. May he bless his word to us together this evening. Let us pray together. We call you gracious Lord, loving Heavenly Father. What precious names, O Lord. The one who is sovereign, divine, far beyond our understanding and our reach, and yet pleased to come, and to come to heal, to restore to yourself. We praise you, Lord, for making this known to us. Make it plain again this evening, we pray, and that we will, in this knowledge, be strengthened to continue faithful to you. That we will have that true, loving, grateful fear of the Lord. To overcome the fear of man that so often leads us through life and it brings damage and hurt even to ourselves and so often to others too. And grant, Lord, that we will look to you, we will look to the brightness of your coming, the brightness which is because of truth and righteousness. That this will be for our ruling in daily life, that will be for our hope, and that through a longing for that day we will know you're working in our lives by your Spirit for your service and for your honour and glory even now. And for this reason we ask all these things, that you will have the glory among us. We pray that in this our request, this our desire, we might be heard. And even now, hear and know that the promise of your righteousness to be received in your presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn in closing to sing together in Psalm 139 on page 180. Psalm 139, version A, page 180. And we'll sing verses 1 to 12. So that's 7 stanzas. O Lord, you have examined me, know me through and through. My sitting, rising, all my thoughts afar are known to you. My going out and lying down are plain before your view. Before I speak a word, O Lord, it is well known to you. You hem me in, behind, before. You lay on me your hand. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too high to understand. And we'll sing through to verse 12. Even darkness is not dark to you in any way, for darkness is as light to you. The night will shine like day, because of the light of the Lord himself. Let's stand to sing then, Psalm 139, 1 to 12.
O Lord, you have examined me. You know me through and through. My sitting, rising, all my thoughts, God unto you, my
grant his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.